If you have your Bibles, Leviticus chapter 7, verse 12 will be our text. I want to preach on the Thanksgiving offering. I don't know about you, but in the last 12 months, I've had a lot to be thankful for. And I know COVID's hit and we've battled this and that, but when you really take a good look at it, we're blessed. Amen? He's still on the throne. I'm still saved. The gospel still works and folks are being saved. Amen. Still, I got the love of my family around me and still got a good church to go to. And I got gas to put in my car. And if you and I had got that door and walk up and down this parking lot, I'd say you got some things to be blessed or be thankful for. Amen. And keep in mind, this is to be done one time every 12 months back in the Old Testament. You see here in verse 12, if he offered it for a thanksgiving, then he shall offer with a sacrifice of thanksgiving. And then he says, he added to that unleavened cakes mingled with oil, unleavened wafers anointed with oil, and cakes mingled with oil of fine flour fried. I don't know about you, but everything's better if it's fried. Amen. Just soak it in there and let it do its thing. Come to find out that oil enhances the taste, especially when you put a little heat to it. And so we're not the only ones that knew what they was doing. I mean, thousands of years ago, oil was a big part of their Thanksgiving offering. But in this, I want you to notice the first four words, if he offer it. I don't know about you, but I don't ever want to get to the place where I don't see God's goodness. And I'm thankful through the Word of God. He constantly reminds us that we are a blessed people as God's people. And to know that our sins are under the blood. And that I have been forgiven. And I stand sanctified and justified. I can't add to it. Thank God it was finished on Calvary. Amen. But there came a time in my life that I had to receive the gospel. And in this, he's dealing with a trespass offering. And there's two aspects of the trespass offering. One is it's a offering of a male lamb without blemish. And it was to be examined to make sure that you was not shortcutting God or giving him something that wasn't the best. And by the way, God knows where you're at in your service. A thankful heart is a heart that comes with gratitude. You don't lay down a poor service or a poor witness. You realize that I am a new creature in Christ Jesus. I have received the best that man can receive. And God lives in me and he's placed in me the Spirit of God. And it's through the ministry of the Spirit of God that I can be a witness, a solid witness. You say, well, I don't know what to say. That's the ministry of the Holy Spirit. He'll help recall the things that you've been taught. And before you know it, the Holy Spirit says, I got you. And he's throwing the words out in your heart. And you ever walk away from being a witness, you think, man, thank you, Lord. I didn't know I knew all that. You'd be surprised how the Holy Spirit of God will help you be thankful if you'll just live by faith and have an obedience about you and keep a heart of gratitude. I think about Naomi and Ruth. You realize that Ruth got to the place where she saw God in Naomi. Even though Naomi was in disobedience, still there was an aroma that Ruth got a hold of. And she realized that the God of Naomi is a real God. And even though God chastened that family and took the three men out and left the three women, she still knew enough Bible to know that God loves the poor folks. He loves widows. And she went to that field and gleaned. And the Bible says when it was all said and done, she bowed. You know why she bowed? She fell on her face and said, God, why in the world would you show me grace and mercy? I'm a foreigner. I'm not even from Israel. But yet your kindness has been towards me. May I remind you, you was born a sinner. You was born without God. You was dead and blinded. When you couldn't find him, he came and found you. Amen. May we never forget, God's been good to us. And he's provided you and I something that'll reach all the way back in our past and forgive us. And he intercedes on us every day, daily. And folks, you look at the Bible, if you're born again, your future's good. Amen. He'll never leave us or forsake us. Absent from the body, present with the Lord. No one else has that, but thank God the believer ought to be thankful. This trespass offering was a picture of two things. Number one, I'm a sinner by nature. I mean, the first Adam threw us under the bus, but thank God the last Adam came and brought us out from underneath the bus, amen, and stood us on a rock And he made it possible that whosoever will, let him come. And I came and you came. But you can come this morning and give your heart to Jesus, because for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Bible says, but God commendeth his love toward us, that while we were yet sinners, he died for us. Amen. I'm here to remind you, you'll never get to heaven on your merit. Right. If you'll humble yourself and say, God, I'm a sinner, would you come into my heart and save me? I promise you, based upon the word of God, he'll come in and save your soul. This Thanksgiving offering starts with a trespass offering. You got to take notice that I'm a sinner. And sin's got to be paid for. Either I'm going to pay for it in hell, or I'll let Christ pay for it on the cross. May I help you out right here? Best thing for you to do is say, Lord, take my sins and put it under your blood and give me your righteousness and save my soul. And God will be more than happy to do that. But he won't do it unless by faith you receive him. You know the verse, for by grace are you saved through faith. It's placing your confidence in him. And I promise you, he'll seal the deal. He'll come in, and the Bible says that he'll regenerate you. That which was dead, he quickens and makes alive. Amen. Thank God when works won't do it, but grace will. And sin has deadened you, separated you, but Christ came to quicken you and restore you. And I don't know about you, but I'm thankful. There was a time I bowed my head and confessed with my mouth and believed in my heart that Jesus Christ died for me. And I invited him in, and he came in and saved my soul. And then on this trespass offering, there's a second aspect. And that is that whether intentionally or unintentionally, you did something. And you had 12 months. Maybe you you robbed your neighbor, or maybe you was caught in fornication, or maybe you owed money, or maybe you did somebody wrong. And this trespass offering was a time where you would give that male lamb without blemish on the fact that, hey, I want my heart to be right with God. I don't want to get up with a dirty conscience. I don't want my conscience defiled. I know that man something. I know that I mistreated so-and-so. Or there could be things that, you know, intentionally you did, and there's some things you didn't know about. But whatever it is, here's your thought. God, you've been too good for me to live honoring. You've been too good to me for me to trespass. God, you have been way too good for me not to observe your law and take it serious. May I remind you guys, there is no Thanksgiving without the atonement.
That's right.
I mean, what's an atheist to be thankful for?
That's right. Amen.
But you and I that are born again have a little bit of knowledge about who we were before God saved us and who we are now. May I get an amen? We are thankful, amen. And how do we show that? Well, we show that by the way we walk, by the way that we live. And so in this, he dealt with the individual acts of sin. May I just remind you, the Holy Spirit of God still wants to deal with the individual acts of the believer. May we be quick to confess our sins. May we be quick to come into the agreement. Amen, MJ? Simply that this, God, I did wrong, and the Holy Spirit of God's grieving in me. I shouldn't have said that. I'm getting lazy on my spirituality. The Bible, I haven't read in weeks. God, in me, you're sending a signal that I'm not on good terms, and I need to get some things right. Amen? Now, in the Old Testament, they would do this one time a year. God said, you need to examine your heart. And he made a way for them to come and to acknowledge that there's a problem. I'm glad for invitations. Not, I'm just not talking about church invitations. Every time I open the Bible, God speaks to my heart, and I'm saying, God, you're right. I'm not going to argue you. You're absolutely right, and I need to get it right. When's the last time you went to somebody and said, can I just in my heart give you a trespass offering? I've harmed you. I've said something that I shouldn't have said. How long has it been since you said, God, you know what? In my heart, you know, and I know I've robbed you of my tithes and offerings. No one else knows, but God, in my heart, every time I write that check and cut it short, the Holy Spirit says, I know how much you made. In that's a trespass offering. Now, what do we do today? Well, Bible says in 1 John chapter 1, verse 9, what does he teach you and I? If we confess our sins, he's faithful. Yeah, he's faithful, the Bible says, and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. God forbid that sin would keep you and I from a thanksgiving offering, that we would linger. Amen? Remember Lot's wife? She knew to do right. She just didn't do right. And boy, before you know it, she turned into a pillar of salt. Samson knew right, but for whatever reason, he just never lied. He never came into agreement. What happens when you and I know right and choose not to do right? Listen, that's not good territory. So a thanksgiving offering is, yes, God, I know what you did on Calvary for me. And I know the ministry of the Holy Spirit. And I know that he's grieving in my heart. He's trying to get my attention. He wants me to repent, but I'm being stubborn. Listen, may I help you this morning? Don't be stubborn. You're shooting yourself in the foot. Amen? Have an attitude of gratitude. And say, God, I need to get this right. Get it under the blood. He talks about in John chapter 1, verse 29. Remember John the Baptist said, behold the Lamb of God. May we never forget the time that God opened your eyes and gave you that measure of faith where you could see what you never saw before. And that is that Christ came on your behalf and bore your sins on Calvary. He was without sin, but he bore your sin so that you and I wouldn't have to face hell. Why? He took our death for you and I. He tells you and I in verse 29, he taketh away the sin of the world. If you study that, he hit it out of the ballpark. Home run from humanity. What man can't do, Jesus went to the cross and paid it in full. We just sung about it. He tells you and I here in Hebrews 1:3, Bible says, when he had by himself purged our sins, set down on the right hand of the majesty on high. You know what he says? He set it on the cross. It is finished.
Amen. Right.
Do you know Christ is your Savior? Have you ever bowed your head and said, God, save my soul? Have you ever humbled yourself? That's the idea of what we're seeing here, a trespass offering. I mean, there was a burnt offering, but these are so closely related, as you'll find there in Leviticus chapter 6, that it's a time where you and I saw the need. God said, here's the way that you can address it. And I'm here to tell you today, sinner, amen, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The wage of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. The whole idea is we're all sinners, but he paid for the sins of the whole world. He's offering eternal life that whosoever believeth in him. For God so loved the world, gave his only begotten son, say it with me, that whosoever, that's you and me, that believeth in him, hell's full of folks who God offered himself. They didn't place their faith in him. Salvation is a heart matter. With a heart man believeth unto righteousness. With a mouth confession is made. And so a thanksgiving offering is this. When you get saved, you come basically because you don't want to die and go to hell. That's a good place to start. But as you grow in the Lord, he flips it on you and makes you realize how sweet it is to know that your sins are under the blood and that he lives in me. And this Bible not only gave me life, but it nourishes my life. Amen. And it allows me to have my eyes open spiritually. It gives me an enablement to do right and a desire to want to do right. He tells you and I in our text, it's a trespass offering for thanksgiving, that he shall offer it with a sacrifice of thanksgiving, unleavened cakes. Now, if you know anything about the Bible, leavened depicts what?
Sin.
And sin is bad. So in the Old Testament, he taught them, you make these cakes or wafers without leaven. And the idea is a picture that you and I are to live pure and holy lives. Amen? We're not to dabble in sin because sin not only hurts you, but it hurts others. Sin always will cost you. It'll cost you individually. It'll cost you with your family, relationships. Sin will keep God's power off of your life. You got to deal with sin. You can't play with it. It'll suck you in. Bible says you reap what you sow. And I had to learn it. I'm still learning. Our flesh is powerful. It's got a way about it that it demands. And the only thing that I've ever found that would overpower it is the Word of God. God will give you the power to stand against it. God will give you the insight to realize that sin might be fun for a little bit, but the end result of it is death. Sin always hurts. It divides. It might be a little bit of fun, but that fun turns upside down and brings you a lot of heartache. So he reminds you and I, he says, I want you to think about the unleavened cakes and wafers. And he tells you and I in 1 Corinthians 5:7 to get rid of the old life. I don't know what your old life was, but I know what mine was. And every once in a while, be honest with you, a lot, the devil wants me to go back there. He'll try to bring friends back in my life. Man, with all the social media and all the ways people can communicate with you, you don't think the devil prompts various people to try to get in your circle? And constantly, you got to stand on guard, but you can't do it by yourself. You need the help of God, amen? And he's telling these men and these women to make sure when you bring this trespass offering and you take these cakes and you eat them in your home, to do it without leaven, because leaven pictures sin, and sin will hurt you and cause you trouble. Hey, run from sin. Don't run to it, run from it. He tells you and I in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7, he says, purge out therefore the old leaven, that you may be a new lump, as you are unleavened. For even Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us. He tells you and I, deal with the leaven in our life. I'm going to be honest with you. I've never dealt with it without the help of God. Because there's some parts of sin we all love, don't we? We just do. It's just in our Adamic nature. But thank God, through the Word of God, He can give us the power to stand against it and to see it before it really sees us. Sometimes we embrace sin and play with sin, and we don't realize that sin's going to, it's going to go off on us, and it's going to cause a mess. But wisdom will allow you to see sin before sin sees you. And therefore you can go around it. You can stay away from it. How do you do it? God helps you on the inside. He tells you and I that we need to put away the leaven. And then the Bible talks about in Luke chapter 12, verse 1, there's a leaven of hypocrisy. God help you and I not to be hypocrites. You know what a hypocrite is? Somebody that says, well, I had an experience way back there, and you still can't come to church. Well, somewhere, me and God met somewhere. I can't remember where. Listen, if you met God, you'll remember. This leaven of hypocrisy. There's a form of religion, but there's no heat. I mean, it's like burning a pine log. I mean, it'll throw off smoke and a little bit of a flicker, but there's no heat there. There's just nothing there that's going to warm you very long. It's the same way with hypocrisy. It's a cheap form of what man thinks that he can do with God instead of what God can do with man. You don't push God around. God does the pushing. He's sovereign, amen? You don't mess with him. You're not going to stop his plans. You're not going to interrupt his plans. When God says, I'm going to do it, whether you're involved or not, God's holy, true to his word, and he's going to get it done. So the idea, whether you're saved or lost, he's still God. Whether you're trying to work your way or you're going to believe your way, he's still God. It all determines on what you figure out is the right way. There is a spirit of hypocrisy. It's all through America. Everybody claims to know the Lord, but they sure don't imitate him. Do we imitate Christ in our life? Your greatest message is the life you live. And there's a spirit. God help you and I to get rid of the leaven of hypocrisy. Then the Bible talks about the leaven of false doctrine, Galatians 5. Remember what he said? You was running well for a while. You was on target. You had enough knowledge of the Bible to make good decisions, but something happened. What happened? The Judaizers came in. They started mixing the Jewish religion with Christianity. Folks, it don't work. Never has worked. That's why it's important you become a student of this book. That you might learn what Christ is and where he lives and what the author of this book has to teach you. Hell's full of folks who thought they was going to slip in the back door. There is no back door to heaven. Well, I'll pay my way. Listen, it ain't about money. It's about you humbling yourself, acknowledging the fact that you're a sinner and the wage of sin is death. And he laid a gift on the table, and that gift is the Son of God who died for you. Amen. And the only way you can get into heaven is through Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, I'm a pretty good fellow, preacher. I understand that, but hell's full of good people. They just never gave their heart to Jesus. The Bible talks about the leaven of hypocrisy, false doctrine, and then corrupt living. I mean, let's just be honest, guys. Your life tells the story. That's the hard thing about a funeral is, you know, what can we say? You done lived your life. I can't really tell them you're a good person when you're not. It's kind of hard to brag up on you when you didn't give us a whole lot to brag about. You might fake a lot of people out, but here's what God says. I know what you've done. Now, we've all sinned, but listen, after we got saved, our life ought to be changing. And the righteousness ought to be revealed in our acts. Our good works don't save us, but now that we are saved, we ought to have some good works. We ought to be focused on different things. Your money ought to be going to the right place. Your time ought to be involved in the right place. Your talent ought to be used in the right place. I mean, think about it. God's given us talent, time, treasure. But when God tunes the heart up, then he'll help you tune up your triumph, your treasure, your time. And what was the next one? Your talent. You want to use it for the Lord. It takes time to study the book. It takes time to be a soul winner. And I say that because it's easy to cast a shadow that this is who I am. But God says, get involved somewhere. The greatest cleansing that I've ever had or you're ever have, spiritually speaking, is deal with the leaven. Let God help you clean up your life and try to reach somebody for the cause of Christ. You talk about a good feeling, knowing that, you know what? I have been a tool in the hands of God today. He tells you and I a thanksgiving offering is when you and I take the cake and the wafer. Now, I don't know why there's two different shapes. I've studied this, and I've come up with different things, but there's a gentleman brought this out, and I like it. The cake's big. A thanksgiving heart is this. God, you've been so good. God, you've been good in the big things of life. Man, I had COVID, but I got through it. Spent 2 days in a hospital, but that was it. God, I'm thankful that even though I had it and it hindered me, but I'm still breathing, I'm still preaching, and I'm still living, and my family's been blessed. God, that's a big cake. Thank you. And then you think the wafer is so little, but man, you might say, well, preacher, I don't really have a cake to be thankful for, but I got some wafers. I spent more than a few days in a hospital, about lost my life, but thank God here I am. I'm still not as strong as I used to be, but it's coming. I might not have a big cake to thank God for, but I sure have a few wafers to give him and say, God, thank you for the small things. God, I woke up this morning. God, thank you for safety as I travel. As I pastor, I've watched folks get cancer and thank God they go to the hospital and the doctor says, you know, let's do this. And boy, they'll go through the different treatments and everything, and it's hard. Man, I watch them lose hair, and I watch them, you know, go through the various things you got to go through. But one day they go back to the doctor and says, I got good news. There's no more cancer. Woo! That's a big cake, baby! Thank you, God, for healing me. But I know folks that still battle it every day. It's not a big cake, but it's a wafer. And they might say, you know, I haven't heard that news from the doctor yet, and I'm still battling this thing, and they only gave me 3 years or 4 years, but I'm on my fifth year. And I just want to say, God, thank you. See, I don't know if it's a big cake or if it's a wafer. But God takes notice when you take notice of what he's done in your life. We need the sacrifice of thanksgiving, where you and I can say, God, it's not the news that maybe I wanted, but I'm still here. Amen. If you've ever had a child that's been rebellious, I have. Man, did God ever teach me some things through that mess? But I can say, God, this is a big cake in my life. Thank God she's serving the Lord now. Amen. And she's doing right. Now, there was a time that I was, thank God I didn't get a phone call and said, we found your daughter laying in the street down there in Portsmouth. She passed away. She's not good. I was expecting that phone call at any time. I had wafers many times. I'm like, God, I don't like where she's at. God, I don't like it. Lord, would you do something? But God strengthened me through all that. Through every experience, it helped me to go deeper in the Lord. And even through experiences of life, God will take some of that leaven and he'll keep it in your life just to remind you. Sin hurts. Sin divides. But I'm here to tell you, wherever you're at, make sure you don't get bitter. If you get bitter, you become Ruth or Naomi. And Naomi spent quite a few years mad. And you know what God had to do? God had to use a Gentile woman to get a hold of the grace of God, brought Boaz into her life because of her obedience. And because of Ruth's obedience, finally Naomi was able to dump her bitterness off. And God brought Boaz in to deliver them and give them an inheritance. And then now we find Jesus Christ in the lineage of those two. You know who did that? God did it. You say, well, preacher, I don't like where I'm at. Don't get bitter. Keep the sacrifice of thanksgiving. God's good to his word. It might not be your time, but it might be his time. Amen. Are you okay if it's his time better than your time? You got to settle that. Don't be mad at him. You just keep serving him. And say, God, I'm going to thank you today before you ever answer my prayer. That's the best thing. You ever study the life of Job? You know when God turned Job's life around, started giving things back to him? When Job said, I'm going to pray and I'm going to be thankful and I'm going to say, God, I forgive my enemies. You know what might be keeping you from God's best right now? You got bitterness in your heart. There's something there. And God said, I can't give you any more of me until you get rid of that leaven that's in your heart. Amen. Folks, it's through the Bible. Either believe it or just live with it. Sometimes your greatest enemy is you. You know what God told Israel and Hosea? My people are destroyed because of lack of knowledge. If they would only known and studied my track record, I would have moved on their behalf. But instead, they got stuck in the leaven of life. And God said they lived all those years with that burden, and I could have set them free. I don't know where you're at. If you're not saved, you can be. You say, well, I don't have a lot to be thankful for. Listen, either a cake or a wafer. Find the good in God. He's good all the time. And give it to him. He's faithful. And then in that text, I close with oil. Oh, well, what would we do without the oil that represents the Holy Spirit? It's the Holy Spirit that God used to soften your heart to bring you to Christ. It could be the Holy Spirit working on a sinner's heart right now. He's breaking down those old walls of unbelief. And he's trying to get a hold of your heart and let you know that I love you, sinner. If you'll just give me your heart, I'll move in and save you. Listen, you can't do that. God does that through the work of the Holy Spirit. Oil talks about the Holy Spirit that recalls the goodness of God. He's our eternal comforter. God saved us and he said, you know what? I'm going to live inside of you and I'm going to be your comforter until I call you home. I'm just here to remind you, thank God for the oil. It was to be mingled, saturated, permeated through that bread. May they realize as they dipped it or they let that just soak up the oil, it's a picture of the goodness of God and how that he made promises to us and he's faithful to his promise. Three things. Are you saved or are you lost? No in-betweens. Either you're in or you're out. Either you're a believer or you're an unbeliever. Amen? What do I do, preacher? I don't want to die and go to hell. You don't have to. You just give your heart to Jesus. Amen? Leaven. I deal with it. You deal with it. We can't ignore it. Leaven will eat you up. Leaven is a cancer. You can't say, I don't have it. You got it. You got to deal with it. If you don't deal with sin, bitterness, It'll eat you up. It'll sabotage you. It'll deplete you. It'll rob you of God's blessing. So a thanksgiving offering is just saying, God, I am hurt. I do have bitterness. I have strayed. But God, I am saved. And I need to get things right. Maybe you ought to come and say, God, you got my attention. Or you can leave here and say, whatever. Only thing you're doing, you just hit pause. And God says, I'm going to catch up with you. See, either you come willingly, or God said, I'll have to deal with you down the road. Won't you come, Christian, and say, God, I'm in a time of thanksgiving, but in my heart, I'm not thankful. I've got bitterness. I'm hurt. Listen, God will take care of the offender. Just make sure you and him are right. Don't let that feeling rob you of God's fellowship and your intimacy with God. Just let God deal with the offender. And you get things right with God. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed.